Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Sunday, we've got a huge doubleheader on Fox. First, the Packers take on the Vikings or other regional action. Then, in America's Game of the Week, Dak and the Cowboys battle Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. All on Fox and the Fox Sports app. Check local listings for the game in your area. Don't miss your chance to win $100,000 of Terry Bradshaw's money on the Fox Bet Super 6 app, where players have won over $5.5 million. Scan the QR code, download the app, and pick the outcomes of six NFL games for your shot to win. Packers at Vikings is one of the matchups.
Yes.
Colin, who wins and by how many points?
I have been picking upsets the last couple of weeks, and my upset of the week, I have the Steelers beating the Chargers and the Vikings beating the Packers. Mm. First of all, Green Bay is all beat up, and Kirk Cousins and Mike Zimmer have had a lot of success against the Packers. They're like 500, and Green Bay's missing everybody. Aaron Jones, Aaron Rodgers is hurt, Bakhtiari, Jair Alexander, Za'Darius Smith, the linebacker. They have like six of their top eight players are not healthy or not playing. Like, Minnesota is a real team. So I told you this week, the one team not in the playoffs today, if you go to the AFC, NFC, keep your eye on the Vikings. I like their coach. There's no nonsense. We bang on Kirk Cousins, but they're explosive. They run the ball. Green Bay's run defense, hit and miss. Let's bring in Eric Mangini, three rings with the Patriots, Jets, Browns head coach, Fox Sports. So what do you think of my Minnesota over Green Bay pick? Is it nuts? I think Minnesota is one of those teams. Do you know they're the only team in the league they've led every game by 7 points? Only team in the league, and they just can't close it. I think they're the most underrated team in the league, the Vikings. Your thoughts?
I totally agree with you. I feel so badly for Mike Zimmer. It seems like every week there's some sort of heartbreak sitting around the corner for him. I think he's a really good head coach. I agree with you. It's no nonsense. It's disciplined, and they are underrated. And if they can just figure out a way to get over the hump on some of these close games, this whole dynamic is going to change and change dramatically.
Yeah, I think this weekend it will. So there's a secret sauce we talked about during the break before you came on that nobody wants to talk about, and it wouldn't generally make talk shows, but it's been so easy and effortless, and the Patriots look so buttoned up with a rookie quarterback. And you gave me a little secret sauce behind the scenes that nobody ever brought up this year, but you said it's not a small thing, it's a big thing with coaching.
Yeah, the value of continuity. So obviously you've got Bill there, and then you've got Josh McDaniels, who has years and years in the system, who's got head coaching experience. And then you bring back a guy like Matt Patricia, who was the defensive coordinator. He goes and gets head coaching experience. You can say what you want about his tenure as a head coach, but he brings that experience back to the organization. Now he can work on defense. He can work behind the scenes with a young coaching staff. And that frees up Bill to go do other things and to look at things more globally, where maybe he wasn't able to do that when Matt wasn't there and when the staff was so young.
So you were in those Brady years and you were winning Super Bowls. I asked Dan Shaughnessy from Boston. I said, do I sound ridiculous saying it looks a little like Brady, where the defense was great, they ran the ball and didn't ask him to do much? And Shaughnessy said, yeah, you're not saying he's Tom, but there's some Tom comps. I mean, what do you make of that? When I look at Mac, the team is constructed, defense first and running, like your Patriot teams were with Brady.
Yeah, it was the perfect fit. And that first year that we won the Super Bowl, we were 5-5 through 10 games. When we went to the playoffs, we scored 3 offensive touchdowns in the playoffs and won the Super Bowl. And Tom wasn't Tom early on. I've talked about this a lot. Tom got better because of his intelligence, because of his work ethic, because of his character, because of all those things. He got incrementally better. We know him as he is now, but that was a building process. And this team is building. And good teams get better as the season goes on. They figure out what they need to do to win. They figure out who they need to be to win, and New England's always been very good at that.
You know, it's I've talked a lot. I think the biggest game of the weekend that doesn't have playoff implications really is Seattle hosting Arizona. Now, I have over the last couple years not liked the Seattle drafting. There's been some power dynamics behind the scenes I don't like. I think they're incredibly thin. I would have never given up two firsts, a third, and a safety for Jamal Adams. That felt like a head coach who wanted to get something done and just bulldozed it and got it done. But am I giving Russell Wilson too much credit? What do you see as a coach and the issues in Seattle?
Well, I feel that Russell has to hold up his end of the bargain. And as much as he talked about, or there was talk about him wanting to go somewhere else and him not getting what he needs, okay, I understand elements of that. But when you're the player that he's been and you're the player that he projects himself to be, you've got to be able to lift the team up as well. And you heard his comments about eventually owning an organization, how he wants to infect that organization with a winning attitude. This is that opportunity. He has that same opportunity right where he is with a tremendous amount of control over what happens. They're going to listen to what he wants to do offensively. It's not like he can't affect that. So now is a great time for him to show all the things that he's talked so much about.
You know, it's interesting. You go through the standings, Coach. Buffalo, New England lead the AFC East. Not a big surprise. Capable quarterbacks. You know, you got Harbaugh and Tomlin, Ravens, Steelers, top of theirs, right? Tennessee Colts, Vrabel, Frank Reich, you know, not surprised. You got Mahomes and Justin Herbert, best quarterbacks. And then you go over, it's Dallas, it's Green Bay, Minnesota. You got Tommy at Tampa, Rams still good. Now, Arizona's a shock, but it is interesting here. I said it earlier. Everybody, we do this in the media, and fans do this even worse than us, is that there's no such thing as luck for 15 years. So Mike McCarthy leads his division. He's won a Super Bowl, 61% of his games, 6 division titles. The last time he faced Belichick, he beat him. The big knock in Green Bay is he didn't get along with Aaron Rodgers. He's not alone. And I look at him and I think there's an interesting thing with him. Favre, Rodgers, and Dak, all of them in the second year with Mike, popped. He's doing something right, Coach. I know we don't like his clock management, but there's something in his mentoring that he's doing. Even Andy Dalton last year, way better late than early. I mean, when you think of McCarthy, he's not clever, maybe, but he's got to be doing something right to be in first place with another team.
Yeah, absolutely. We want to kill coaches very quickly, and Mike's been fortunate in terms of the quarterbacks that he's had. But typically, what you're going to see when there's a good coach in place and a good staff in place is what you're talking about. There's going to be some pop in that second year, as reps build up, as familiarity builds up, as you start to understand your quarterback, as you start to understand your team, as they start to understand you, those things should look significantly better. You should get really alarmed when you're in those later years and things are starting to decline. But this is what I would expect to happen. And you're right. It's hard to win on a consistent basis, even with a really good quarterback, unless you're doing some things right.
Okay, I'm going to ask you three specific teams that they're underachieving. And I'm going to ask, you're the GM of these teams, and I'm going to say, I want a decision. New York Giants, what do you do with Joe Judge? You own them. Gettleman, Joe Judge, Daniel Jones. Do you bring it back? What change? Start with the Giants. What change do you make to their power structure?
The one thing that's been consistent is the GM. And there's been a lot of time for them to make changes. They've spent money. They've spent draft picks. There's been a lot of talk about what was going to happen, and it hasn't. I don't know if the jury is completely in on Joe Judge. To me, if you're going to make a change, it would probably be from that perspective, from a GM perspective.
Okay, Miami. Chris Greer, the GM. Brian Flores, the coach. Tua is the quarterback. You run it. How do you change that power dynamic?
I don't think you change that power dynamic right now. They've done a lot of good things in Miami. They've made a lot of good decisions in Miami. And I don't fault them for trying to go get a franchise quarterback. And they're still trying to get a franchise quarterback in terms of looking at Deshaun Watson and looking at whatever opportunities are out there. I'd say give them another year together and see what can happen. Look, things may turn around at the end of this season, but it's too early for me to blow that up.
Finally, Cleveland, GM, coach, quarterback, what do you do going forward?
I like what's in Cleveland. I think there's smart people there. I think Kevin Stefanski is a really good head coach. He's got an excellent perspective on things. It's not like he went into this situation and felt like he knew everything. He's trying to consistently improve himself, and the noise in Cleveland has decreased substantially. There's a lot of things that he had to clean up when he got in there, and I like the things that they're doing, and I think there's smart people there, there's good people there, and you got to let this continue to grow over time.
Very patient man, Eric Mangini, on a Friday. Great seeing you, Coach.
Good seeing you, too.
All right.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is The Herd Line News.
Well, the Patriots are back in our life being dominant. We had a nice little break.
And we got a year off from them crushing our souls.
And they're back. Well, they dominated the Falcons' offense last night. They kept Atlanta scoreless. 4 sacks, 4 interceptions. Although I do think it's fair to point out the last 2 interceptions were...
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. This is like, if you watch the game, you know. Yeah. on the way to their 5th straight win. But interceptions nonetheless, they still count. And cornerback J.C. Jackson says this is just the beginning for the talented defense.
Boy, he's good.
I don't want to brag too much, but I feel like we got one of the best defenses in the league right now. We got a good pass rush. We got some guys up front who's doing pretty good this season. And, you know, the secondary always been pretty good. And we starting to build that chemistry. Defense played outstanding. Like, I can't even describe, like, but we got to keep it up. It's going to get scary. It's going to be scary.
He is really good. Undrafted. Now, think about that, Joy. Can you imagine an undrafted baseball player, an undrafted NBA player, maybe being the best corner in sport?
We see it in the league all the time.
It's incredible. I mean, he is it's classic New England. They draft. You don't play a lot early, maybe. You learn the system, but he is just out of this world.
Well, their defense was incredible last night. As I was saying before we played the clip, Josh Rosen came in and went 1 for 3 for 5 yards and an interception, and Felipe Franks came in and threw an interception as well. So just to keep some perspective on the end of that game, but didn't take anything away from it. They kept them scoreless, and it was a brilliant performance by their defense that ranks number 2 in scoring defense, number 4 in total defense, number 7 in pass defense, and number 10 in rush defense. They have allowed 13 points over the last 3 games.
Oh, they are. And that
and
Judon.
8 interceptions and 10 sacks.
Judon has been a great free agent acquisition. Tremendous player.
And they've held 4 of their last 5 opponents under 300 total yards. Now, again, I'm going to be the Debbie Downer in this situation.
Good teams coming up.
Yes. The rest of their schedule is now where I'll be a buyer.
Yeah.
They have the Titans Sunday on November 28th. Then they have the Bills. Then they have the Colts. Then they have the Bills again.
And that is a rough 4-game stretch.
Yes. Then they have Jacksonville.
Win.
Well, they could beat the Bills, but yes, we'll assume that's the easy one on their schedule. And then the Dolphins at the end of the season.
Where's that game, though,
is in Miami.
And they've done very well against Belichick against his old foes.
But not in Miami.
Isn't Miami good? No.
They always struggle in Miami at the end of the season.
Always.
So that game is in Miami.
Yeah. No, I mean, we will.
So even though he usually does well against younger coaches.
And Mac Jones is going to face a great Bills defense twice, Tennessee's unbelievable pass rush, and Miami, and the Colts defense. So I think what you're saying is fair. They are undressing rookie coaches.
Like, look at their last 5 games, right? They lost to the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Which is a perfectly acceptable loss. They blew out the Jets. Okay. Beat the Chargers.
Close.
But rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, rookie coach, young quarterback. Blew out the Panthers. Okay, that quarterback is not there anymore. And they blew out the Browns last week. And then the Falcons are, I mean, we all watched that last night.
Yeah.
So this is the stretch. This next stretch is when I will start to be a buyer for this whole reboot of the 2001 thing. Their defense is incredible. Can't take anything away from them at all.
Absolutely.
It's more about when Mac Jones doesn't have a comfortable lead.
Joy, he threw one ball over 20 yards last night. It was picked. So it's okay. So if you trail against Buffalo, you're going to have to throw the ball down the field.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. So Ben Roethlisberger's status is for Sunday night against the Chargers is still up in the air following a positive COVID test last week. Mason Rudolph got his first start in the season in a tie with the Lions.
Oh, worst game league history.
I've forgotten it. I've just, you know, there's certain things in life you just have to compartmentalize, just like, put in a box, throw in the ocean.
Like that ties in unwatchable games. It was like 48-48.
Yeah, it was both.
It was awful and a tie. So terrible.
I don't want to relive it. But he completed 30 of 50 passes for 242 yards and a touchdown and an interception. He said he's preparing as if he'll be the starter again. Roethlisberger tested positive. He needs to be symptom-free for 48 hours and have two negative tests 24 hours apart to exit the league's COVID protocols. But, I mean, another game with Mason Rudolph.
Oh boy.
Yeah. I mean, it's just their offense isn't there. He's had some success with this offense, but it's not the same kind. Right. And I don't know what to make of the Steelers this year overall. They have moments where I start to think that they're getting on track, and then it's last week against the Lions.
In an offensive league, they win with defense, like Denver. So week to week, you're not quite sure. Like Denver, week to week, sometimes that defense just handcuffs people, and other times, like Dallas could not move the ball for 3.5 hours.
And Najee Harris has been great, but he's not enough to carry this team against a team that can put up points. So Jalen Hurts attended the Manning Passing Academy years ago, and he's maintained a relationship with the family ever since, and he spoke about the advice that he's gotten from Peyton Manning as he works to improve as an NFL quarterback.
You know, I love watching Peyton Manning and seeing what he has to say. The detailed episodes he makes, he actually sends them to me. And having a relationship with him, I enjoy that. He's just really, really detail-oriented. Even in the offseason, the amount of detail he has in the offseason when he's with his receivers, you'd think he had, I mean, he did. He had scripted plays out there. He had a special routine. So I admire that and hope to continue to carry that on.
I always like hearing the quarterbacks that young guys try to emulate or have relationships with. And I really think it's great. A lot of the leagues have gone in this direction. It's a very old school thing. Like, they'll figure it out. Like, let them go. There's no relationships. There's no like brotherhood and mentorship. And I think a lot of that for many different aspects of the game has changed. Not just, you know, older guys reaching out to younger guys and having that kind of fraternity, but it also is, I mean, reaching out, talking about agents and financial managers and financial literacy. And like, I think all the leagues have just really done a great job of bridging those gaps of, you know, generations. Cause I mean, Peyton Manning is obviously like, that's a complicated guy to try and emulate, but I think it's cool. And obviously they've done the Manning camps for a long time. So Jalen Hurts this season, 4-6 record. He's doing some good things. I like Jalen Hurts. I still think he needs a year or two to develop into the full, you know, whatever he's going to be. But I'm glad that they gave him the opportunity this year.
You watch an Eagles game, Devontae Smith and him have a real thing going. Like, and it's like, that's a big thing. Like when Tyler Lockett and Russell Wilson, or Doug Baldwin and Russell Wilson, when you're a young quarterback, can I find my guy? You know, 12 targets.
Jamar Chase.
Yes. It's like, that's a huge thing. And that's why Joe Burrow pushed for Jamar Chase. I threw to him in college. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line. Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week, explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good things come to those who wait. The 2021 Mercedes-Benz SUV family proves otherwise. No time at all to test drive at your local dealer. Learn more at MBUSA.com. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. Let's go to Jason McIntyre. We both had great betting weeks last week. We call it Tomorrow's Headlines Today. Week 11's got tremendous matchups. I, for the first time that I can ever remember, took 5 underdogs. I feel great about all of them. So here we go. The former newspaper guy to create headlines. Tomorrow's headlines today, Jason. What's it going to be for the Saints and Eagles? Here we go.
Really tasty matchup. It's a rematch of last year's game won by Jalen Hurts. The headline will be Saints hit them where it hurts. I like Sean Payton in New Orleans in a bounce back. Listen, Colin, I know we're not trend bettors, but you do look at some trend numbers, right? Mike Tomlin against young quarterbacks. Mike Tomlin is an underdog. Sean Payton on the road off a loss, 27-10 against the spread. He knows bouncing back better than anyone. And remember, he saw Jalen Hurts last year. Hurts had over 100 yards rushing.
Yep.
They have not allowed a 100-yard rusher since. And in matchups that are so close, this will probably go off as a pick 'em. I've got to lean to the better coach, Sean Payton versus Nick Sirianni. So give me the Saints in a close, pretty good game.
Yeah, I think they're a better team and they're getting points. Tomorrow's headlines today. I almost took one favorite this week, the Dolphins at the Jets. I almost took the Dolphins. What do you got for me?
Colin, listen, you know when I pick the Jets, it's rare because I'm a bit of a homer. But the headline will be Cup of Joe. Flacco gives New York a pick-me-up. Give me the Jets on the money line, Colin. On the money line, New York wins outright. I'm going to say something for you. I just want you to think on this, Colin. Should Joy Taylor's Miami Dolphins ever be favored over anybody this year? And the answer is no. They're not a good football team. As an underdog, hey, I get it. They showed out well against the Ravens last week on Thursday Night Football. But again, Tua going on the road. Colin, if you look at the bet splits, they're posted online a lot of places. 80% of the bets are coming in on the Miami Dolphins. The Miami Dolphins, this is a terrible football team. I know the Jets are bad. They've lost four in a row. They've given up a million points. Robert Saleh stinks. Joe Flacco's awful. Listen, Colin, we've seen some spot starters surprise some people. Colt McCoy a couple weeks ago, Cooper Rush. Some of these quarterbacks, not a lot of tape with Joe Flacco on the Jets from this season. I think the Jets win this. Perfect spot for them getting the hook, 3.5. Don't be surprised if this line comes down on game day. Go Jets.
Tomorrow's headlines today. Washington at the Carolina Panthers. Cam versus Ron Rivera.
So, little known fact, Jason McIntyre, that's me. I grew up in Northern Virginia, so I know this Washington-Carolina game well. The headline will be, football team exposes Newton's fatal flaw. Give me Washington here, Colin, as an underdog. Cam Newton's a great story, right? Everybody loves to root for him. He's back. He's screaming at the cameras. Let's remember, he's not a good quarterback, okay, Colin? I mean, he ran for the touchdown, then threw for a short one. But he's going to start all of a sudden? Really? Just to get revenge on Ron Rivera, who wanted nothing to do with him? Carolina has only been favored twice in, like, the last month, okay? Against the Giants, lost outright. Against the Eagles, lost outright. This is a good defense, but, again, this offense is just anemic. I know McCaffrey's going to show well against the weak Washington linebackers. But, again, I grew up in Northern Virginia. This is going to be a pro-Washington crowd in Carolina. No home field advantage for Cam here. I like Washington in an upset.
All right. Tomorrow's headlines today, Packers at Vikings. I like Minnesota here. What you got?
Yes. Well, when we agree, I think we're something like 97%. The headline will be Cousins goes toe-to-toe with Rodgers. I think Minnesota's in a great spot here, Colin.
Yep.
You know, in recent weeks, we've seen all the contenders take a loss. Dallas with a surprising loss. Tampa last week. The Buffalo Bills in Jacksonville. The Rams have lost two straight.
Yep.
This is the spot, I think, where the Packers slip up and, you know, slip up, toe. Aaron Rodgers, we don't know how healthy he is. He is at practice today. No Aaron Jones. His left tackle, Bakhtiari, we're still waiting for him. He's not going to play this week. I think Dalvin Cook has a monster game. Remember last year in this meeting, he had a buck 63 and Minnesota ran away with it. I think the same thing plays out here. Mike Zimmer, kind of on the hot seat. We've talked about this a lot. It's not a big national narrative yet, but you know we're early on this. Zimmer, it's got to have this game.
Yeah.
They still have the Bears twice, and I think they play the Lions once more. So there's a chance they get into the playoff mix, Colin, but they must win this game. And it's a pretty good Vikings team. All their losses are by 7 points or less.
Yeah, and most of Minnesota's best players are healthy, and most of Green Bay's are not. It's a weird spot for Green Bay where they miss their top back, corner, left tackle, linebacker. They're all banged up right now in Green Bay. So sometimes it's just you get lucky sometimes with attrition. Minnesota, I like him too.
And remember, Kirk Cousins is not in prime time when he awfully stinks. This is a 1 p.m. game. He'll be fine.
Yeah, and he's played well against Green Bay. Tomorrow's headlines today. I stayed away from this game. Ravens at the Bears. Who you got?
Yeah, well, some breaking news just came through about in the last 30 minutes. Khalil Mack's out for the year. That's kind of a death blow to the Bears who stink.
Yeah.
The headline will be, Air Jackson skies in Chicago. I like Lamar Jackson here to have a big game. This is a Bears defense. It's really beat up. It looks like Hicks, their run stopper, is a no-go. That's really bad against this Baltimore rushing offense. And Eddie Jackson in the secondary, just a playmaker. We don't know if he's 100%. Listen, Chicago's a fun story. They've shown well on occasion. Justin Fields, I don't know how he's going to fare against this Baltimore pressure. Nobody blitzes more and pressures a quarterback more than Baltimore. It's just a tough spot. Anytime John Harbaugh is coming off a loss, Colin, you know he's one of the best coaches in the league. I think Baltimore kind of puts it on the Bears here. I'm not sure who's betting Chicago. This line came down from 6 to 5 to 4.5. I like the other side. I'm going against the line movement. Give me the Ravens here on the road.
Yeah, I just want to watch Justin Fields, to be honest. I really like watching his development. Yeah,
with a nice coach, though, right? I mean, geez, I don't know. And Allen Robinson hasn't practiced all week. Hamstring injury. It's like, who's he throwing to? Darnell Mooney? Yeah. I don't see it for the Bears.
Finally, tomorrow's headlines today. I stayed away from this one. Cowboys at Chiefs. I think I would have taken Dallas, but I'm going to stay away.
Ooh, okay. Colin, we really agree on a lot. Maybe it's a 4-1 last week that's getting in our heads. The headline will be Dallas D gets an A on their Mahomes work. Yes, of course. I like Dallas here as well. Colin, this is a Kansas City team that we say they got right beating the Raiders, but did they? I mean, Mahomes had two should-have-been interceptions that were dropped. The weird DeSean Jackson fumble where he, like, stopped running and then got stripped. I didn't think the Chiefs were that great despite the five TDs by Mahomes. All Dallas has to do is say, guys, we've got to go with what has slowed Patrick. The two high safeties, man coverage underneath. Let's hope and pray that Trayvon Diggs does not get lit up by Tyreek Hill. And let's try to bracket Travis Kelce, maybe Micah Parsons, less pass rushing, more in coverage against Kelce. I think Dallas is going to have a chance because you look at that Kansas City defense, Colin. How are they stopping CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup, Zeke Elliott? Tony Pollard is like making plays. I like Dallas here going on the road. And Colin, we said it on our Monday gambling show. If you like Dallas to maybe win the Super Bowl, I think today and this week is when you bet it. Because if they beat the Chiefs, everybody's going to be all in. The odds are going to go down. And remember, the NFC East is just a joke. They're going to steamroll it. Dallas could get home field advantage in the playoffs. And Dallas coming out here to the Super Bowl, Colin, at SoFi, you and I will get on the field, right, for that one, I think, maybe.
That'd be
Can
great.
You use your power to flex that?
Yeah.
Joy, we'll bring you along. Yeah, yeah.
Why not? She's got
thank
the power.
You.
She has better seats than I do. Joy.
She'll get better seats than us, yes.
Good stuff. J-Mac, appreciate it, bud.
All right, see you next week.
Yeah, we agree. I do like Dallas. I have said this before. Sometimes I stay away from the big TV games because I want to watch them. I just want to watch
them. You don't want to, You don't want any part of that. Especially the way that the season has gone. You get all involved and start overthinking it, and then you're rooting for something, and then we have to talk about it afterwards.
I think Dallas would have a chance to really beat them. But if Mahomes, Randy Gregory, you saw him in these highlights, he blows stuff up. And so if Randy Gregory was playing, I think it would be very disruptive for a kind of growing offensive unit line for the Chiefs. And this is also interesting. So Dallas gets to host the Raiders after Thanksgiving. So if Dallas wins this, they're going to be Turkey Day games. Yeah, Raiders at Cowboys. So if they win, if they beat Kansas City, they're going to be a big favorite. Nobody's going to watch Bears line. Oh, God, we have that one, don't we? Oh, boy, that's a tough one. Oh, that's rough. Well,
that's,
Justin
that's
Fields.
That's bad news about Khalil Mack, though. That's awful.
Yeah.
Foot surgery.
All right, valued customer. You deserve Discover. Matches all the cash back you earn and your first year automatically, no limit. Exceptionally common sense. Discover.com/match. Limitations apply. See you Monday. Speak for yourself. Biz next.